Odyssey Sports Station. Always live on the free Odyssey app.
Are you ready?
Are you ready?
It's time to laugh, to win, and to live the thrill of the action.
Hey, baby, let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs. What the hell's going on out here?
No idea what's going on, but I am excited.
Every pick, every play, every game-changing moment. This is You Better You Bet, brought to you by BetMGM on Westwood One Sports.
Well, good morning. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very happy to be here with you guys on this fantastic Friday. And do we have a lot to get into filling in today for my guy, Nick Kostov. There is a piece of audio that I cannot stop listening to. I'll play it for you throughout the course of the show today. We got a lot of football to get into. We just had the Hall of Fame game yesterday. Congratulations to those of you that watched the Hall of Fame game. There were a great deal of us that just said, no thanks. I love the NFL. You'll learn that over the course of these next 3 hours. I don't love it enough to watch the fake version of it. I'd rather watch Friday Night Lights if that's what we have planned. I'd rather watch Varsity Blues. I'd rather go back and watch Last Chance U. But watching Kenny Pickett go up against Carson Beck, y'all got it. I hope it was great. I hope it was everything that you envisioned it to be. I was not participating in that. But we will talk about the season and get you ready for it. We got a little college football. We got a little bit NFL. Football season is here. So this is what I've been thinking about for the last couple of weeks, and I'm happy to share it with you guys and bring it to you here as we kick things off for You Better You Bet. So my regular job, my full-time 9-to-5 job, is I host afternoons in Kansas City. For the last 6 or 7 years, you could say that Kansas City has been the favorite every single year coming into the AFC. I don't think you can say that this season. I don't think they're the favorite this year in the AFC. But I also don't know who the favorite is in the AFC. So I've really been trying to rack my brain on what team do I like? Which teams do I not like? Who am I riding with? Who am I fading this year? The NFC, I think, is very, very simple to break down. It's either Seattle or the Rams. Now, football can happen, and maybe Philadelphia makes it to the championship, or Green Bay, or Detroit, or one of those teams. But heading into the year, it is very obvious to me who the two teams are that sit at the head of the table. That is not obvious at all in the AFC. In fact, I think there are 8 teams that can make a case heading into the season that they are a Super Bowl contending team. Now, I might have varying degrees of confidence in these 8 teams, but I think there's 8 teams in the AFC, half of the conference, that can claim that they're Super Bowl champions. Now, we're going to go through this here, and I will admit on the front end, I did not include Jacksonville. Now, maybe that's my fault on why I didn't include Jacksonville, but it's Jacksonville. Like right now, if I handed you a sheet of paper and I told you on this sheet of paper, it was Seahawks Jags in the Super Bowl. And I told you for $100,000, do you believe me or not? I don't think you would believe me. I think you would rip it up. I think you would say you're joking. I think you would say you were kidding. Jacksonville had a great season last year. You think they're going to the Super Bowl? I'm sorry. I'm just not there yet. I am not enlightened enough to consider Jacksonville to be a Super Bowl contending team. They won 14 games last year. They lost in the first round of the playoffs. Just not a believer. I'm not there. These are the 8 teams. Buffalo, New England, Cincinnati, Baltimore, Houston, Denver, the Chargers, and the Chiefs. Now, again, these are all varying degrees. I do not believe in all these teams, but I do think these are the 8 teams that can make a legitimate case that they are a Super Bowl contending team. Now, continuing the theme of this, I think all 8 of these teams, if you believe in them, I can see why. If you think Houston's going to the Super Bowl, I can give you a pretty detailed answer on why I think they're going to the Super Bowl. I'm going to go through and tell you what their red flag is, which makes it hard to believe in these teams. All 8 of these teams have overwhelming positives and things that you like and why you think they can advance, but they have some serious fatal flaws in why you would be on the opposite side of them and why you would be fading them. Let's start with the Buffalo Bills. Brand new head coach, brand new defensive coordinator. That's a lot of shakeup for a team. This is a team that has been a pretty consistent double-digit win team for each of the last six seasons. We've seen them play in the big games, haven't seen them win a lot of big games, but we've seen Buffalo play in a lot of big games, so you know they're battle-tested. But this is the team that's going into the year with a completely brand new coach, a completely brand new defensive coordinator, and I'm still not super sold on their skill position players, and I think out of these eight teams, it's possible that Buffalo has the worst defense out of the eight. So going into the season, everybody likes Buffalo. They're the favorite in the AFC. Everybody loves Josh Allen. This is the time that he's finally going to break through. Is it? Because I'm seeing a team that has a completely new head coach, the defensive coordinator. I'm seeing a team where I'm not still sold on their offensive weapons. DJ Moore trade, okay, but I don't really love the rest of their options when it comes to the pass catchers. And I think their defense is leaky. Buffalo's the best team in the AFC? Well, then the spot is up for grabs then if that's the case. Let's move down to the New England Patriots. New England went to the Super Bowl last year. New England feasted on a lot of the bad teams last year in the National Football League. Like, we're going to go through their schedule here. And just based off last year, now, you get all the credit in the world for going to the Super Bowl. You get all the credit in the world for winning the AFC. New England beat one good team before they got to the playoffs. It was wins last year. Miami, Carolina. Now, they did go on the road and beat Buffalo. Great win. They went on the road and beat New Orleans. On the road against Tennessee, Cleveland, Atlanta, Tampa Bay, the Jets, Cincinnati, the Giants, Baltimore late in the season when Baltimore was out of it. The Jets and the Dolphins. They feasted on the dregs of the league. You know what I love about New England this year? Is we're going to get some of our questions answered in the first month of the season. The first four games for the New England Patriots. At Seattle, home against Pittsburgh, at Jacksonville, at Buffalo. That's a tough stretch. I dare you to find a team in the National Football League that has a tougher first month of the season than the New England Patriots. You play three playoff teams from last year all on the road, and you play the Pittsburgh Steelers early in the season. If they gave out Super Bowl championships for the first 8 weeks of the season, Steelers might have won four of the last 7 years. The Steelers are really good before the leaves change. If it's an October 15th game, woo, watch out. Pittsburgh's a dangerous team. Once it starts to get cold, and you know how old people already move in the cold weather, Aaron Rodgers, you don't have to see him anymore. So I'm looking at this New England Patriots team. Number one, I think their schedule is going to be radically tougher this year. So I'm anticipating there's going to be some level of regression this season from the New England Patriots. Another interesting point about New England, I refuse to believe that all of the offseason drama has no effect on New England. It's going to be the seventh week of the season, and we're going to look at New England, and they're 3-4, and we're going to say, oh, we should have saw that coming. We spent 2 months talking about the head coach's personal life. We think that has no effect on the team. We wouldn't think that if he was a player. If Mike Vrabel was the team's starting quarterback and he had all of the things circulating around him, regression and distraction would make a lot of sense. So coach issue, outside distractions this offseason, regression. I also want to see if they can do it again. They took advantage of a bad schedule last year and a down AFC and had the right combination of everything last season, and they found themselves in the Super Bowl. Now, you don't apologize to anybody for that, but I want to see you do it again. Can they do it again is a major question. So we're going through the red flags right now in the AFC. Buffalo, new coach, new defensive coordinator. I still don't love their skill position players. I then look at the defense, a little bit leaky. New England, regression expected in my mind. They played patsies last year. Now, they got one of the tougher schedules in the National Football League to kick off the season. Cincinnati. Now, I know some of you might be Bengals fans, and you might be screaming at your YouTube stream, or might be screaming at the radio when I say this. I don't know anything about Cincinnati, but I know they're not going to have a good offensive line. I already know. I don't know who's on their offensive line. I've never seen one of their offensive linemen before, but I do know they won't be able to block. I've seen that for seven consecutive years. You're telling me all of that problem's gotten fixed? No chance. No chance. Joe Burrow might get sacked on the first play of the season. I'm going to be like that Leonardo DiCaprio gif. I'm telling you, I don't need to know, but I know when it comes to Cincinnati. I know their offensive line is an issue. Is Joe Burrow going to stay healthy? That's a coin flip every single year. They also had a dreadful defense last year. Are they going to be able to turn it around? Now, they've thrown a lot of bodies at the problem. You go get Boye Mafe. You go get Dexter Lawrence. You pick up Brian Cook in free agency from the Kansas City Chiefs. So Cincinnati has definitely tried to improve their defense. Let's see if they improve it. But Joe Burrow health, which is always an issue every single season. They can never protect their quarterback. They can never block. They've traded for Orlando Brown Jr. They've made this pick. They've done this thing. Still can't block. Offensive line leaks like a sieve, like a boat with a hole in it. I got those questions about Cincinnati as we kick off the season. When it comes to Baltimore, I saw regression last year from Lamar Jackson, at least when it came to running the football. At some point, you would have to think this Derrick Henry thing is going to expire. We've been saying this now for four seasons, and no matter how old he gets or how many carries he gets, he continues to be an absolute cyborg and run for 2,000 yards. He's not a real human being. Also a new head coach. I don't love their offense. I don't love their skill position players. Even though some of the pieces and parts change on Baltimore, it feels like we're always in the same place with them. So can their quarterback stay healthy, brand new head coach, turnover when it comes to the front office, turnover when it comes to the coaching staff? Those are some of my questions about Baltimore as we head into the season. Now looking at Houston, their biggest question is C.J. Stroud to me. I think Houston has just about everything else you would need to be able to win the Super Bowl. I think they're a capable running team. I think they've got good weapons on the outside. Their offensive line's a little bit of a problem. Let's see if their offensive line can be better this season. Defensively, they might have the best defense in the National Football League. You've got three legitimate pass rushers. You might have the best 1-2 cornerback room in the NFL. There's a lot of things to like about Houston, plus you're in a winnable division. Is C.J. Stroud ready to take the next level? Because last year he threw 19 touchdown passes. And you are not winning anything of value if your quarterback throws 19 touchdown passes in 2026. Maybe in 1986 you could do something with that defense. You are not winning anything if your quarterback throws 19 touchdown passes the way he did last season. He was dreadful toward the end of the year. But Houston probably has fewer red flags than any of these teams so far that we've discussed. This is a good Houston Texans team. I understand the hype. I get why people are on the bandwagon. It just comes down to C.J. Stroud for me. And now as we close this thing out in the AFC West, I think the Broncos on paper are the best team in the AFC West. But you've got a quarterback health conversation. Bo Nix has had two ankle surgeries in the last 6 months. That can't be good. There is expected regression, I think, with the Broncos. The Broncos won every close game last year. They played 14 games that were one-score games, 14 of them last year. They won just about every single coin flip. They went to the roulette table and kept betting on black, and black hit 13 of 14 times. That's a great run. You take your chips and you get up from the table and you live with it. But if anybody that's played roulette, you know that's not how it usually goes. They got everything. They got block kicks. They blocked two-point conversions. The Broncos had the right combination of everything come together last year, and that's how they found themselves in the AFC Championship game. Can that happen again? Can Bo Nix do it twice? I got questions about the run game with the Broncos. They could not run the football effectively last year, and that was a significant problem. They were whenever they had J.K. Dobbins, but J.K. Dobbins, the moment Halloween comes, he's hurt. He hasn't played in November in 7 years. And then I think there's expected regression from the Denver Broncos because of how many close one-score games they had. The Chargers, I don't even know. The Chargers have been the exact same team for 20 years. The Chargers are like Grey's Anatomy. Every year, it's the same. I don't know if people still watch Grey's Anatomy. That's how the Chargers are. People still believe in this team. It doesn't make any sense to me. None. I know some of you are falling for it right now. Well, they got Mike McDaniel. Mike McDaniel's the thing to get you over the hump? This is the Chargers. The Chargers are the West Coast Jacksonville Jaguars. They just got cooler uniforms. Like the same way I don't believe in Jacksonville, I don't believe in the Los Angeles Chargers. And Kansas City, significant question marks, I would say, coming into the season. Their quarterback is coming off his most significant injury. Their defense has a bunch of holes, bunch of question marks, a lot of uncertainty, and their wide receiver room's a bottom five room in the National Football League. Rashee Rice is playing fast and furious. Xavier Worthy's never figured things out. So I'm looking at all of these teams right now in the AFC. And I think every team that we are talking about has a significant fatal flaw that could be the reason why they get eliminated. One of these teams is going to emerge. One of these teams are going to prove me wrong. They're going to figure it out. They're going to be able to put it together, and they're going to advance to the Super Bowl. We got 4 months in trying to figure it out. But as we come into the season, there are 8 teams, in my opinion, in the AFC, and I think you can make a case for any of them being the best team in the AFC and ultimately finding themselves in the Super Bowl at the end of the season. We'll go around the room here coming up on the other side. I want to hear who people like in the AFC. Who are you high on? Who are you not high on? We'll do that next. My name is Carrington Harrison, filling in for Nick Costos on You Better You Bet.
The stories that matter from the brand you trust. Westwood One Sports.
Hi, how can I help?
Well, my husband and I feel like we've outgrown our current money manager.
I see.
Our lives have changed, and we need something more than just mutual funds to help us in retirement.
She's right.
I hear that often. At Fisher Investments, we'd start by getting to know you, your finances, family, health, lifestyle. We tailor a portfolio around your goals and needs.
Sounds good.
Can you help with estate planning?
Yes. We have a team of specialists who can help you with estate planning, Social Security, investment income, and more. We'll get to know your whole financial picture and help keep you on the path to a comfortable retirement.
And your fees?
We have a simple, transparent fee that's a percentage of the value of your portfolio. So we do better when you do better.
I feel better already.
At Fisher Investments, we're clearly different. Learn more at fisherinvestments.com/different. Investing in securities involves the risk of loss.
Skechers Elite Athlete OG Anunoby has been making history on the basketball court.
Anunoby tips it in. Unbelievable. What a shot.
He's been balling out in Skechers high-performance basketball sneakers, and the world has noticed. But how does OG train off the court to keep in peak physical condition? Hands-free Skechers Slip-ins Aeroburst. They help prepare OG for the physical demands of playing at a championship level. Get your pair of Aeroburst for only $165 at a Skechers store, Skechers.com, or wherever high-performance running shoes are sold.
Andy Ortiz, when I lost my mom, she was only 46, and I lost my dad to cancer. It was the worst pain I ever felt. It made me think, what will happen with the people I love when my time is up? That's why I have life insurance. Ethos makes it easy. It's all online, take about 10 minutes, and you can get up to $3 million in coverage.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/game. That's ethos.com/game. Pay testimonial. Time spent up at Richmond.
Welcome back to You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on Westwood One Sports.
Welcome back into the show. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very happy to be here with you, filling in for my guy Nick Costos on You Better You Bet. Right now, we're talking about the AFC, and in the AFC, I think there's 8 teams that could argue that they're a Super Bowl contending team. Now, respectfully, I probably should have included the Jacksonville Jaguars. But we got to be real with ourselves. How stunned would you be if Jacksonville found themselves in the Super Bowl? You would not be stunned if Cincinnati was in the Super Bowl. They just went a handful of years ago. Baltimore has Lamar Jackson, who has won multiple MVPs. Houston has the best defense in the AFC. I don't for the life of me understand how Jacksonville was so good last year. It's one of life's great mysteries. Like, how many licks would it take to get to the center of a Tootsie Roll Pop? How nobody has the answer? Nobody has the answer of how good Jacksonville was last year or why they were so good. It doesn't make any sense. They won 14 games last year. They beat Denver on the road late in the season. And then they had one game to prove to us how good they were. They had one game against Buffalo at home, lost. That's all you needed to know. That was all the information we needed about them, how they were fraudulent, how they weren't contenders. So I want to go around the room here, and I just want to get the room's opinion. Because if you were asking me, I think the Broncos are the best team in the AFC. I don't feel strong on it. I don't feel strong about any of these teams. I think all of these teams have fatal flaws. I think all of these teams have serious red flags. That's what makes the AFC so fun. The AFC has been dominated. It's been controlled by the same two teams now for 20 years. Whether it was Tom Brady and the New England Patriots, whether it was Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs, the AFC has been dominated by two quarterbacks and two franchises for 20-something years. This is the first time in a while in which we start a season where, I don't know, this is a real dealer's choice here. This is a real, honey, you pick where you want to eat. I don't know which one of these teams are good. I mean, I know that one of these teams, multiple teams are going to miss the playoffs. Only seven teams can make it. So out of these eight teams that we all think are going to be pretty decent this year, a couple of these teams aren't making the playoffs, and there's going to be some new, fresh blood. We're going to look up, and Tennessee's there. We're going to look up, and Indianapolis is much better than people think. That's just kind of how the National Football League goes. Kenny, we'll start with you here. There's eight contending teams, give or take, in the AFC. Who are you high on? Who are you fading heading into the season?
I like Baltimore. And I know a first-year head coach has not won the Super Bowl, and I guess that's a question here, but I'm willing to bet on Jesse Minter being, and of course I'm willing to bet on Lamar Jackson. Now, I know he hasn't had playoff success, but I think he is still one of the three best quarterbacks in the league. I'm not betting on a Derrick Henry downfall. Why would we ever do that at this point? If he's still playing, he's still one of the 5 to 10 best running backs in the league. I do worry about their receiver core, but like I said, I'm going to Lamar Jackson. I think all the stuff that came out over the offseason, the players putting him at 69th best player in the league, the executives putting him as the fifth best quarterback in the league, that's only going to fuel him. He's going to have a big year. And like I said, Jesse Minter is going to get that defense back to where it was a few years ago with Mike McDonald.
Yeah, I want to get your point on this, Tyler. I'm curious what you think. The Derrick Henry thing, I mean, Derrick Henry has been phenomenal for the last 12 years at running back. Like, Derrick Henry is going to be 32 years old this season. And the belief usually is once your running back gets past 28 years old is normally when it's time to kind of be on the opposite side of this. I mean, last year at 20 years old, 307 carries. At 30 years old, his first year in Baltimore, 325 carries. He scored 16 touchdowns in each of the last two seasons. So we're talking about a guy who is an absolute proven workhorse, a guy that's proven to you time and time again that you can count on him. You would just have to think at some point, it's like, when do you have a regular year? This doesn't seem like it's anytime soon with him. The big thing to me with Baltimore is going to be, can they get Lamar back running last year? I thought a major problem with their team last year, aside from the health, and I think that played a major factor in it, is Lamar just took such a huge step back last year. Whether it was in the passing numbers and the passing statistics, or it was just in his desire to take off and be a dangerous runner. That team really works when Lamar Jackson is such a threat to take off and run the football because of how elusive and explosive he is. I mean, last season he ran for 300 yards. In 2024, Lamar Jackson had 139 carries for 900 yards. Last season, he took half the amount of rush attempts, so 67 rush attempts, 349 yards and two touchdowns. If you're going to cut his production in thirds from what he does as a running back, it just makes him far less dangerous, far less scary as a running back. And you need Lamar to continue to be one of those dangerous, game-changing kind of players. And that's just not who he was. Baltimore doesn't work if their quarterback is human. They need him to be spectacular. They need him to be a superhero, and that's just not what they got last year. So if you're really high on Baltimore, Kenny, who in the AFC are you fading? If you're in on Baltimore, who are you out on?
Yeah, this is you're probably not going to like this because the team you said is the best, and it's Denver. And you talked about the one-score regression. I'm just not sold on Bo Nix. I think it's a great roster. But I think they do play in a lot of one-score games. You're a Chiefs fan. You know how that went for them last year after they went, correct me if I'm wrong, 11-0 the year prior in one-score games. Very similar to what Denver did this past year. I think that comes back to haunt them, and they're more of a 10-win team as opposed to people thinking they're going to be right at back at the top of the AFC.
Yeah, I think with Bo Nix and why it's kind of hard for people to get on board is it feels to me that we've seen a ceiling with Bo Nix, and that's why I'm really interested to see this season, now that you've given him the amount of weapons in the passing game that they have, going to pick up Jalen Waddle is big. So if you're telling me you got Waddle, you got Cortland Sutton as your 1-2s, I like their tight end. We'll see if R.J. Harvey can be a little bit more effective than he was last season. I like the offensive additions that the Broncos made, but I certainly understand not being a huge believer in them heading into the season. All right, Tyler, I'll ask you the same question. Let's start with who are you in on? What team do you like in the AFC heading into the season?
I'm actually surprised Kenny said this team. I completely agree with him. I like the Baltimore Ravens a ton. I wanted to pick one of the teams that had the new coaches, so either Buffalo or Baltimore. I just don't trust Josh Allen in the playoffs. Obviously, I know I'm picking Lamar Jackson, who's done the same amount, which is zero. But I think they have the best combination of the quarterback, best combination of rushing attack, and the best defense amongst those two teams. So I completely agree with Kenny there. I like Baltimore a ton. I think they're going to win the AFC. I wanted to pick Houston, but I mean, how can you trust C.J. Stroud with how he's done with his last, what he's done the last two seasons? So I'll take Baltimore to win the AFC.
All right, I got to ask you both this question here. We got to step back for a bit. You're telling me in a January playoff game you're picking Baltimore? Because it's easy to say that right now while it's sunny outside. It's easy to say I like Baltimore when it's 105 degrees and you got a pool day scheduled. Baltimore's really good now. You're telling me, both of you, when it gets cold, when you got to take that parka out, when you got the thermostat dialed up, that's when you believe in Baltimore? Because I got 5 years of evidence and 5 years of data that tells me believing in Baltimore in that time of the year is going to end in absolute heartbreak. So that's my question for Baltimore.
Yeah, I completely agree. But I'm willing to bet on the unknown with Jesse Minter and him changing this philosophy with the Ravens. Like Harbaugh, like we saw it so often. I think a change could actually fix them and Buffalo. I think both those teams are going to be phenomenal, obviously. I just think with the new head coach and the new style they might play, I think that it could change dramatically for Baltimore. So it's just all brand new head coach, brand new philosophy. I think it can change them a little bit.
All right, so if you're in on Baltimore, who are you out on? We heard Denver out. Who are you out on?
Cincinnati. I mean, I can't. I mean, as long as Zach Taylor is the head coach and this is the front office and ownership, like I just can't do it. Everyone thinks, oh, Joe Burrow, this could be the year he's going to be healthy. We've done this for the last like 3 or 4 years, and he always gets injured. I know the offense is awesome. The defense, I don't care if they added Dexter Lawrence. It's just all that's going to do is just stop the run. They're still going to probably give up 30 points a game through the air. Like, I'm completely out on Cincinnati. Would not be shocked that they bottomed out again, and Joe Burrow's a free agent at the end of the year, and we're doing the whole Joe Burrow sweepstakes for next season. So Cincinnati, I am completely out on.
Yeah, that's kind of where I am. Like, if you're asking me out of these teams, which of these teams do I think is most likely to miss the playoffs, I'd probably say Cincinnati as well, too. We've just done this Cincinnati on paper game for the last 3 or 4 years, and it just never ends up working the way that it does. If I had to look into my crystal ball, if I had to be the Swami, this has an 8-9, narrowly missing the playoffs, slow start, Zach Taylor on the hot seat. This has that season just written all over the Cincinnati Bengals. We've played this game before. I know the vibes. We do. I know the vibes. I've seen the vibes before. I've been around the vibes. I know exactly what's going to happen here. This is an 8-9. They score a lot of points, but they give up a lot of points. If you got Joe Burrow on fantasy, you're happy, but they can't really do anything else. You're happy that you got Ja'Marr Chase, and that defense can't stop anybody. We've played this game for the last 3 seasons with Cincinnati. You're not fooling me. You're not fooling me. But I wanted to do this exercise just because there's so many questions about the teams that are in the AFC. There's so many questions about them. The NFC, I think, is real easy to look at. The Rams have one of the strongest rosters on paper that we've seen in the NFL in probably a decade. The Seahawks are a very, very good team. I like Philadelphia this year. I don't love them the way that I think you can love those other two teams, but I like Philadelphia this year. I think Dallas is going to be a little bit better than people think they're going to be this season. I think, oddly enough, the Cowboys are coming in, flying in under the radar. But the top two teams in the NFC are very easy, very, very straightforward. The AFC is very, very different. So this was a fun exercise. We're going to be joined by Herm Edwards coming up at the top of the hour, and we'll get his thoughts as we continue our conversations when it comes to the National Football League. I wanted to talk about this because last night we had the Hall of Fame game. When you really think about it, we've had chances to see some perfect football players. Like Tom Brady was the perfect football player, has an incredible resume, can't really poke any holes in it. I mean, even if you're going to say, well, they lost those two Super Bowls to Eli Manning, I mean, he won seven other ones. Like, how much are we holding it against them? Tom Brady has a perfect football resume. I think that Charles Woodson is one of those people. If there was something to win, Charles Woodson won it as a football player. Everybody loves Charles Woodson, unless you're an Ohio State fan. Even if you cheer for Ohio State, you probably still have the, you know, that guy's good. I'm going to give you another perfect football player. It's Larry Fitzgerald. Larry Fitzgerald was the perfect football player. You don't know a single person that doesn't like Larry Fitzgerald. Imagine if you were just sitting around with your friends and you were just talking about great 2000s receivers and you were just talking about some guys and somebody said, hey, what about Anquan Boldin and Larry Fitzgerald? You'd be like, they're pretty good. That's how you would feel. Oh, they're pretty good. Yeah, of course. He was phenomenal. Larry Fitzgerald, all pro multiple times, won Walter Payton Man of the Year, went to the Pro Bowl 11 times. He was the NFL leader in catches two separate times, led in touchdowns two separate times. He's on the 2010s All-Decade team, also on the 100 anniversary team. He was one of the best college football players of the last 25 seasons. I think he was the best player in college football his season. And he was on the listen to the All-Decade receivers for 2010s. Antonio Brown, who should be in the Hall of Fame, but they will never vote him into the Hall of Fame. Larry Fitzgerald, Calvin Johnson, and Julio Jones. I'll put that four wide receivers up against any era's four wide receivers. We can go 90s, we can go 80s, 70s, whatever era. I will put those 2010s with AB, Fitz, Megatron, and Julio. I'll put that four up against any four all-decade receivers, and I'll feel really about what we have. Larry Fitzgerald, he was just the perfect football player. Everybody loves him, super reliable, super durable while he was a football player as well. Every season, you knew exactly what you were going to get from Fitz. You knew he was going to give you 100 catches. He was going to have 1,000 yards. He was going to have 8 to 12 touchdowns. He was going to play in all 16 games. And he was going to be a reliable football player. You never had to worry about any off-the-field issues with Fitzgerald. He was going to be a good teammate, good person in the community. Larry Fitzgerald, one of the great football players of his time. Congratulations to him. First ballot Hall of Famer, Pro Football Hall of Fame. I still think he should have won the Heisman Trophy that year. But you know what? He got just about every other award you could get as a college football player back in 2003. So congratulations to Larry Fitzgerald, who's going to the Hall of Fame this weekend. Congratulations to Luke Kuechly, who is going into the Pro Football Hall of Fame this weekend. A great start to a weekend with the Hall of Fame game. All right, we're going to take a little bit of a break here. Coming up on the other side, there's been a piece of audio that I cannot stop listening to. I'll play it for you next. Keep it right here. My name is Carrington Harrison, filling on You Better You Bet.
Every team, every player, every story, every angle. This is Westwood One Sports.
Are you an adult with uncontrolled moderate to severe Crohn's disease symptoms and still packing a backup bag of clothes just in case? Skyrizi Risankizumab Rizza can help you take control of your Crohn's. feel significant symptom relief, including less abdominal pain and fewer bowel movements at 4 weeks. Plus, Skyrizi is proven to help people achieve remission and visibly improve damage of the intestinal lining. Individual results may vary. Skyrizi is a prescription injection medicine. Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions, increased infections, or lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, get checked for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor about any flu-like symptoms or vaccines. Liver problems leading to hospitalization may occur when treated for Crohn's. Ready to take control of your Crohn's? Ask your doctor about Skyrizi, the number one prescribed biologic in Crohn's disease. Control is everything to me. Learn more at SkyRizzy.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZZY.
After wanting one for years, Kevin is finally enjoying his new hot tub.
This is the life.
He worked with Empower to help him get good at money, so now he could be a little bad.
Oh, no, not my phone.
Oh, Kevin. Kevin's phone may be in hot water, but his finances aren't. Invest well, live a little. Start today at Empower.com.
COVID-19 has cast a spotlight on the stark inequalities that drive poverty. The poorest communities in the U.S. and around the world are suffering the most. Oxfam believes we can put systems in place to protect health and livelihoods in the future if we work together with dignity and compassion. Learn how you can help offer safety to the most vulnerable and fight for a more resilient future at OxfamAmerica.org.
Richmond.
Welcome back to You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on Westwood One Sports.
All right, let me tell you that this segment is sponsored by Progressive Commercial Insurance, protecting your business vehicles 24/7. See if you can save at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Special shout out to Progressive. I want to play some audio for you guys that has been absolutely stuck in my head for the last couple of days. I've listened to this, I'm not joking, at least 15 times. I'm one of those people that when I hear a song that I like, I'll just run it into the ground. Like, I'll listen to it until I know every single word. Like, I can't stop. I want to play this for you. So I actually had no clue that this existed. But there is a women's baseball league. It just started. This past weekend, like last weekend, it just started, had its first game. Now, I don't know who's starting a baseball league in late July, but you know what? I'm not here. That's not, ain't got nothing to do with me. But I support the women. I support their desire to play baseball. So go get it. That's not the story here. You know, at the beginning of a baseball game, like all sporting events, they have a national anthem. Now, to me, the national anthem is kind of like a first pitch. No one really cares how good your first pitch is. Like, I've thrown out the first pitch before. I threw one out of the Royals game. It was a lot of fun. Everybody's like, oh, man, don't mess up. Don't mess up. I was like, I'm not worried about that. Not at all. I'm not trying to go up there and be Pedro Martinez. I'm not going up there to be Randy Johnson. No, stand down there. I'm going to throw it to you. I can throw a baseball. However far it is, that's easy. I'm not putting no sauce on it. I'm just going to throw it down there. Like, oh, why don't you throw it harder? Because you've never seen you've seen one good first pitch your entire life. It was the president of the United States. Think about how many first pitches there are. First pitches every night. They never show good ones. Like, they never show the 14-year-old prodigy that goes up there and throws some knuckle curve. You've never seen that first pitch. You've only seen bad first pitches. You don't even see average regular first pitches. No, you only see it if it's trash. I'm imagining there's really good national anthems every night. Think about it. Think about all the sporting events, all the kids' games, all the college games, all the pro games. You never see good national anthems on the internet. You only see bad ones. You only see if they're terrible. So I saw a national anthem goes viral, and I thought, oh boy. But nothing could prepare me for when I clicked play. There was not a single thing that could have prepared me for this moment. Lord, can you hit it, please?
And the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there.
Still there.
I tried to save you. It kept going. It really did. It kept going. Now, I want to shout out Miss Martha Reeves. Now, Martha Reeves, the woman that you heard singing there, Miss Martha Reeves, she is a legend. She sang on Motown back in the day. She sung with Smokey Robinson. She spoke with the Temptations. She was in the Supremes. She was a distant. No woman is 85 years old. That woman was born in 1941. Now, I say this with all the respect in the world for Miss Martha. Miss Martha, she could be my grandma. She could be auntie. I don't mean no disrespect toward Miss Martha. You got to know when to hold them and know when to fold them. Miss Reeves, you're done out here in these streets. You can't keep doing this. You used to, I'm sure, you had some pipes back in the day. I'm sure you could sing back in the day. That's over. Come on now. You know that. You know that didn't sound good. You knew that was bad. You had to know that was bad. You know what good singing is. But as I heard this, people, I had to learn more. I had to do more investigative journalism. That's what I am. I'm a journalist. You know, the woman's got an album coming out. Yes, the woman you heard singing right there, she got an album coming out. Comes out, it's actually out today. It's called Searching. She was searching for key. She was searching for range is what she was searching for. She was searching for the melody. I'm telling you, Miss Martha. Queen, come on now. I'm serious. Come on now. So I was ready to let it go. I really was. I was like, you know what, man? I don't feel good. I don't feel good making fun of this 85-year-old woman. Like, come on now. I can't do that. But let me tell you this. Miss Martha gave a comment. She gave a comment to Entertainment Weekly. I had to click on it. I clicked on that thing so fast. I'm telling you, I instantly clicked on it. She blames the backup singers. She says it's the backup singers' fault that this messed up. So we got video, you know, TMZ. As hard as you think Satan is working, I'm telling you, TMZ working even harder. I don't know what kind of spies they got, but TMZ, they got video everything. TMZ found some behind-the-scenes footage of them practicing for this. Behind the scenes, some BTS footage of them practicing. And she said in this, she said that the audio, that those background singers were out of tune, is what she said. She said they were out of tune. And she also said that it was windy conditions. It was wet and windy conditions, and that's what had her singing that way. So I just want to tell you, what you heard there, that's not her fault. You can see in the video. You can see in the video. So if you've ever done this before, some of you have done this. Like if you go down on the field, like they have like a person like this, their job. They're like the on the field coordinator. So like if your kid's going to run on the field to do something or you're going to, you know, there's like a person that coordinates it. You can see her go over to the person and she says, I don't need these background singers. Baby girl, you needed these background singers. They should have been the front ground singers is what they should have been. They should have been the main singers. They shouldn't have just been singing backup. They shouldn't have just been the appetizers. They should have been the entrees. I don't know if I'll ever get over that audio. I'm serious. It's stuck in my mind now for the rest of eternity. Like, when you go to hell, that has to be the first song you hear. Like, that's what welcomes you there. Like, right when you just, like...
And the home of the brave. Of the free.
I'm telling you, that song just plays in a loop when you get there. Just constantly. Constantly. The next time that your kid acts up and you're thinking of a punishment, just lock them in their room, make them listen to that. Be like, hey, don't ever do that again. I told you. Get good grades. Listen to your mom. And if you don't, you know what's going to happen? 30 minutes. I want you to stand up, hand over your heart, looking at the flag. I want you to listen to this song for 30 minutes. That's what I think you should do. Shout out to Miss Martha Reeves. Shout out to her. Go pick up her new album, Searching. I'm sure it will be available on all your DSPs, Spotify, Apple Music, Tidal, wherever you get music from. I'm sure you'll be able to hear Miss Martha Reeves and her singing on her new album, Searching. I'm sure it'll be a banger. I'm sure there's some classic love tunes on there. Something for when you're in the mood, something when you're riding around with your girl. You know, I'm sure all of those things will be available. Coming up at the top of the hour, we're going to have Herman Edwards on the show. And honestly, my biggest thought before we talk to Herman Edwards is just, what happened to the coaching rants? You know, when I was a youngster coming up back in the early ESPN days, I mean, when, you know, you would really be locked into the SportsCenter Top 10. When the SportsCenter Top 10, like, that wasn't an option. That was mandatory. Like, you couldn't go to school before you watched the SportsCenter Top 10. You had to know what the number one play was. We used to get really good coaching rants. Have these coaches just started to make so much money? Or we just get so mad at when coaches say anything? Like, we don't get a good coaching rant anymore? Like, I used to love when a coach just after a loss would just go up there and just start throwing stuff, you know? Like, when your team would blow a 17-point lead in the fourth quarter, you would go up and you would just start hitting the podium. Like, that let me know you cared. That let me know that you were really in it, you know? When Vernon Davis is not listening and not doing what he's supposed to do, just start ripping. Just in the right there in the press conference. You don't got to do it privately. Just right there in front of everybody. This is where the debate television shows, they really ruined it. Because now if that happened, that'd be the only thing people would talk about for the next day. We're not giving these coaches the freedom to criticize their players publicly the way they used to. I used to love it. I really did. So Herman Edwards. Herm has one of the greatest coaching rants of all time. Legendary, iconic. Hello? One of those. Him, Jim Mora, Dennis Green. Like, they should have Hall of Fame. I've never been to the Pro Football Hall of Fame, but they should have little TVs set up when you get to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. You should be able to press a button and you can hear legendary coaching rants because they're a part of the NFL too. As much as the David Tyree helmet catch is a part of the NFL, playoffs is also part of the National Football League history as well. You should be able to see that as well whenever you go into Canton, whenever you go to the Hall of Fame. So coming up at the top of the hour, we're going to be joined by Herman Edwards. So much football to talk about. My name is Carrington Harrison. Happy to be here filling in for my guy Nick Costos on You Bet or You Bet.
This is Westwood One Sports.
Faster quotes start at the Lowe's Pro Desk. Got a material list handwritten on a sticky note saved as a photo? Perfect. Bring it to us and get a quote in minutes. And if you don't see what you need on the shelf, we'll help you get it. You can access thousands of products beyond what's available in-store or on Lowe's.com right from the Lowe's Pro Desk. Build quotes faster and source the materials you need to keep your jobs moving. Just like that, at Lowe's.
Ice cream.
You scream. We all scream. Because Wendy's famous small classic Frosty is just a buck for a limited time. More screaming, happy screaming, summer screaming, dollar small classic Frosty screaming! But please don't scream in the drive-thru. It hurts the employees' ears. Get a $1 small classic Frosty for a limited time. Only at Wendy's.
U.S. price and participation may vary. A la carte. Always consult your financial and tax professional.
You're listening to Westwood One Sports on WFAN-FM HD2 New York, an Odyssey sports station. Always live on